Well, today is the last Sunday of 2024. Is that good or bad? I don't know yet. You know, it amazes me. We are just such creatures of habit. And I know I bring this up every year, but it just makes me laugh every time I see it. Went into Sam's Club the day after Christmas. Pallets of Slim Fast. Lining the whole thing as you walk in. It's just like, here we go. We all know we ate way too much for Thanksgiving. We excused it with all of the parties and get-togethers for the whole year, but now it's time to get serious, all right? And every year we do this, and I don't know how many of us take time to maybe think of some New Year's resolutions, things that we're hoping for in the new year. And maybe, you know, it could be any number of things that you're talking to God about or thinking about in your own mind. But here's what really occurs to me on this Sunday as we're getting ready to go into a new year, is that hope is alive. There's an inkling of hope inside of us that just causes us to believe at this time of a year that something's about to change. Now, the pessimists in the room will be the ones who say, it's just another day, it's just another year, it's just a... But culturally speaking, we all come to this point in time where we're looking at it and we're thinking of ourselves, there's something new. It's now 2025. Maybe that's going to mean, maybe this is going to be the year that something awesome happens. Here's what often happens to us. We like to build up these big, grandiose ideas of what the next year looks like. Some of the optimists in here, every year you're thinking, this is going to be the best year ever, right? Some of us, maybe you're a little less optimistic, but not quite pessimistic, and you're in the place of like, well, next year will hopefully be better than last year was. Like there's a sliding scale here. Then you get a little bit more onto the pessimistic side, and it's like, next year has to be better than this year. Right? And then you get to the very last line of pessimism. I'm done. I don't care what year it is. Right? We're all coming to these different places, but it really, there are things that we hope for and that we believe for God to do. And I want to spend some time this morning just talking about why we should hope in Jesus. Why we as a church believe that Jesus is the hope of every life. What that means to us on a day like today, when we're looking into the next week here, when we start a new year, what does that mean? And it's not just about what God wants to do, because here's the truth. God wants to pour out blessing on you always. He really does. But in covenantal relationship, God makes very clear that there are responsibilities that we have to put ourselves into the right place to receive blessing from God. And that we also, conversely, can stop God's blessings by not being in where we're supposed to be or doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so here's what I want to look at today. We're actually going to look in the Psalms, going back to Psalm chapter 16, which is page 458 in our pew Bibles. But I want to look at something that David said, because I love to read about David's relationship with God. David, who is the only person in all of Scripture who was given this title, a man after God's own heart. And his time in worship, his experiences in worship were so transformational because he knew things about God. He understood things. He expressed things about God that are so monumental that I don't want us to miss. And this is one of those. But here's what it says in Psalm chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. I want to read this together. It says, keep me safe, O God. Come on, if there was a verse for your next year, right? This is it. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Now, here's something that I just think is so awesome. David starts with, God, you are my only hope. You are the only hope I have for a future. You are the thing that keeps me safe, and I run to you for refuge. I'm asking you, God, to take care of me. But David, and I want to unpack this for you here just real quickly, goes through the next 8 verses, and in each verse unpacks a single idea, not only of what God is giving to him, but a commitment that David is making to God. I want you to see this. Verse 1, he says, you are my refuge, right? So he says, God, you create a boundary around me, and I'm going to honor the boundary that you create. Verse 2, he says, you're my master. I'll submit to you in everything. Number 3, I will choose fellowship with godly people. He says, they're my true heroes. They're the ones that I look to, the people who are godly. Number 4, I will not worship idols or anything besides you. He said, I won't even say the names of their gods, right? Verse 5, I will honor you as the source of my everything. He says, you've given me a good inheritance, God, and it's blessings to me. Verse 6, he says, I will accept that what you have given me is enough. I want to read that again because that's a really hard one for us to grasp sometimes. I will accept that what God has given me is enough. Verse 7, I will let you guide my life. And then verse 8, he says, I will trust you and stay close to you. These are all these promises that David is making to God. He starts off by, God, keep me safe. Keep me safe, protect me. But in order to put myself in the place of getting the protection of God that I need, I'm going to make 8 commitments to you. I am going to live in your boundaries, submit to you, follow you, fellowship with other believers, honor you, accept what you've given me, let you guide my life, and stay close to you always. Do you see how this might set you up to be in a really good place of blessing? But here's what I want us to see in this. Hope begins when we make the decision to follow God completely. I don't honestly know what else there is to put our hope in. I mean, I get it. We just came off of an election cycle. I hear some of you talking about how hopeful you are for the next next president. I don't know. I've lived through a few presidents now. I don't feel like any of them are really that awesome. Jesus is. I want to put my hope in Jesus. We're always, maybe it'll be this next promotion at work, or maybe it'll be this next thing in my life, or this next accomplishment. Once my kids reach this level of being able to care for themselves, or maybe it's hoping your kids will move out, all right? I don't know. There's always something that we're looking at that we're trying to pin our hope on. Maybe if this happens this year, then maybe I'll begin to hope that good things are in store for me. But I want you to see the fallacy of all of this. Every time we put our hope into something other than God, what happens to us? We get to the end of another year hoping that the next one will be better. I sure hope next year's my year, and this is going to be the year that, fill in the blank, this is going to be the year that. Every time we do it to ourselves, can I invite you into something this morning? This is really my hope for us as we're looking to turn this page. What if we made this the year of Jesus? What if we made this the year of being completely sold out and dedicated to following Jesus completely? What would that change for us? What if we made commitments like David did and saying, God, you're my refuge. You're my master. You're my provider. You're the one who takes care of me. You're my protector. You're my guidance. I'm giving everything to you. And here's what we can't miss. When David's saying all of these things to God, it's the reason why the underlying tone about David's life is that there is a man after God's own heart. That is a man who knows how to follow Jesus, who knows how to be submitted to God. Because I'm not just giving God the things I don't want to take control of. I love, Pastor Matt shared this a couple weeks ago. I never heard this before, and I thought it was such a great analogy. Kudos to Pastor Matt. We want to be God's backseat driver, right? God, you can take the wheel, but follow my instructions closely. Anybody ever ride with a backseat driver before? Huh? If you haven't, you probably are the backseat driver. All right? Whoa, 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 that person's turning. Yes, in 300 yards, someone is turning. I see that. Whoa, 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 they're hitting the brakes. Yes, I see that. The football field's away. I get that. We're good. That was personal. I made that personal. I'm sorry. Hope begins when we put our trust completely in Jesus. And this is where it really comes from, because it has to be built and predicated on an idea of trust. But there's something about this trust that is so important to us that is really hard for us to grasp. And we were talking about it just a minute ago, and it's this decision that in the midst of following God, we make the choice, and it is a choice, we make the decision to be satisfied in following God. That's a decision. Listen, we are far too often thinking that if God would do this and 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 this, just this one thing, God, I'll be satisfied. We just take care of this one thing and everything will be better. We're always waiting for the next thing when the reality is that to be satisfied, satiated, complete, at peace in the presence of God is a decision that I make when I say, God, what you have given me, it's enough. And if I needed more, you would give me that as well. It's a decision. But here's what I want us to see. This is Psalm chapter 84. Again, David wrote this. Psalm 84, verses 10 to 12. Here's what David says. Now, I don't want to miss this, okay? David is the king of Israel, right? He is the king, God's anointed king over all of God's people, all right? And this is what he writes. He says, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God, then live the, and I'm going to add quotes here because I'm sure this is how David meant it, then live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. Oh, Lord of heaven's armies, what joy there is for those who trust in you. And here's what we really need to understand here, because if the beginning of hope is when we start to truly follow God, in order to follow God, we have to have complete trust in God, because complete trust in God is the beginning of great joy. It's the beginning of great joy. Now, please hear me. Let's visit the other side of the coin here. If you don't completely trust God, how many questions does that raise for you on a daily basis? God, what are you doing here? Are you going to fix this? Are you going to change this? Are you going to take care of that? Are you going to move me up here or move me over there? Are you going to take care of that? We just start to question every single thing. And every time we do it, it brings us closer and closer to the place of misery where we just can't stand anything in the world around us. But the reality is that joy begins to come in when we just fully trust in God. I can trust him if it's good. That's not trust. I can trust him if I agree with what he's doing. That's not trust. I can trust him if I understand where we're going with this. That's not trust. Trust is giving completely to God and saying, Lord, I just believe no matter what it is, no matter how it works out, no matter how long it takes and whatever you're up to, it's good. I believe in you. I want to maybe demonstrate trust for you, because I think there's a question, like, what does it mean to completely trust God, okay? How many of you have ever heard of a trust fall before? Ever heard of that before? I'm going to get somebody to help me with this. Somebody I can catch. Jonah! Come on, Jonah. You definitely seem like somebody I could catch. I don't want to... Well, you can give Jonah a hand as he comes on up here. This is a trust fall. You ever do a trust fall before?
Yeah.
Okay, I know I can trust that I can catch him because this guy doesn't eat anything, so he stays in peak physical shape to wrestle anybody who comes his way. So I don't want to drop you because I don't want to get hurt, okay? So you've done a trust fall before.
Yeah.
You understand how it works?
I think.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do. We're going to come over here. I want you to turn around. Face the wall right there. You don't seem like you really trust me.
No.
Okay. All right, so you're going to stick your arms out at your side. You're just like this. Now, just fall back and I'll catch you. Go ahead. No. That's not trust. You didn't trust me. Here you go. You got to keep your feet planted there. You get in arms right like that. Here we go. Arms out and I'll just fall back and I'll catch you. Oh, that was it. That was really good. No. Don't leave yet. Because that's just the first level of trust. There are other levels of trust. All right, so I want to help you with this because you were kind of looking back to make sure I was there, making sure I was going to catch you. I honestly feel like that's cheating. I don't want to pull your hair. I never had this problem when I put one on. All right, can you see anything?
No.
Okay, sorry. Okay. So right here, right there. Okay, arm straight out. Okay, now fall back and I'll catch you. Okay, no. We were close. We were really close. All right, you just got to trust me.
I don't.
His dad is mean. I'm not your father. I won't let you fall, okay? This is a sermon illustration about trusting God. It would look really bad if I just dropped you, okay? All right, here we go. Arms out. Ready? Here we go. Fall back. Okay, there we go. Okay. Now that was level 2 of trust, but we're not done yet. We're not done yet. Okay, so here we go. Just going to spin you around a couple times. All right. All right, now stand right there. Okay. All right, your arms are straight out. Okay, now, so you're here, you're safe. All right, I want you to fall back and trust me. No, it's okay. Just fall back. I got you. Can we give him a hand? That was a lot to ask. Thank you so much. You know, trust is a funny thing. It all revolves around our experiences. If you've been let down by somebody before, it's pretty hard to trust. Sometimes when you can see everything, you see every angle. Like, did you see him? He's standing here. He's like, he knew. But then we regret all the way to this graduated point of, now I'm in front of you, and now it doesn't make sense that I could catch you, and now there's no logical explanation to why this would be safe. Do you still trust me? That's when it gets really difficult. And church, I want you to see this, that completely trusting God is so important. And there's so many verses that remind us of the ways in which we can trust God. And I want to give these to you. John 11:25 reminds us that God will save you from your sin. Deuteronomy 31:5 says, God will never leave you or forsake you. James 1:5 says, God will give you wisdom to guide you. Psalm 37:3 says, God will direct the steps of the righteous. Malachi 3:10 says, God will provide for you if you're generous. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, God sees and knows what you do not. Matthew 6:33 says, God will take care of everything if you just put him first. Romans 8:28 says, God will work all things together for those who love him. The Bible is just full of these trust fall moments between us and God, where God's just like, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I've got you. Kind of. Do you trust me to tithe faithfully and give me 10% of your income and believe that you'll still be able to survive on the other 90%? No. But God says, if you trust me, I can prove myself to you, but in all the areas where you just refuse to trust me, I can't show you my faithfulness. I can't fill you with joy. I can't fill you with hope. I can't give you these things that I want to give to you because you're not giving me the one thing that you've got to give in return. Trust me. Trust me that I'm good, that I love you, that I have a plan for you, that I would never set you up for failure, that I wouldn't destroy you or drive you into the ground just as a practical joke, which apparently has happened to Jonah before. He says, I can't, my dad would let me fall. I know it. I would never let you fall, Jonah. Neither will God. He won't. He will never let you fall. Even though you feel like you're about to hit the ground, he won't let you fall. Church, this is what it means to trust God. This is what it means to have hope alive inside of us. It's not hope for a change in the calendar, a new date that we got to remember to write. It's not change in a new job, a new position, a new relationship, a new house, a new car. It's not any of those things. And we keep putting our hope in that stuff and getting to the end of every year feeling just as tired, just as frustrated, with our arms crossed and being like, God, where were you this year? The whole time, God's standing back here. I was here the whole time. I was here the whole time. Just trust me. We just completely trust me. Going back to Psalm 16, here's what David says. He says, no wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Last thing, hope follows trust in Jesus as we let him show us the way of life. Hope follows trust. Not trust in anything or anyone else, but in Jesus. Here's Jesus, here's trust, here's hope. They're all in a line. We've got to put them in the right order, because when we get them out of order, my hope is in this, my hope is in that, my hope is in this. I keep thinking that it'll be this. Why don't I have joy? Why don't I have peace? I can't hope for anything anymore. And the whole time, your heavenly Father standing off to the side, reminding you, if you just get into my scriptures, I've written every word down for you to understand. I'm here for you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to let you rot. I'm not going to sit off in the corner like some wise crack dad and be like, oh, watch, he's going to fall. It's going to be hilarious. God says, I don't do that to you because I love you. The reality is that we need to understand that there is a way of life. There is a way of living. There is a way of hope. There is a way of joy. There is a way of peace. But it's not through anything that we see with our eyes and all these things that we just keep grabbing at. Well, I need this and this and this and this. And if I could get this and more of this and more of that and get rid of some of this and get, and then I'd have it all and I'd have hope finally. I'd have peace finally. Church, history is filled. I mean filled with people who went to the grave grasping at straws. Who on their deathbeds just felt no peace, no comfort, no hope, no joy, though they had grabbed at everything and some of them had experienced everything the world has to offer, but they missed this one thing. Hope follows trust in Jesus. Hope follows living your life for Jesus, allowing him to be your way of life. Here's what I want to offer you. In 2025, make Jesus your way of life. Make trusting God your way of life. If you want hope that next year is going to be a good year, I got nothing else that I can give you in this whole world. Listen, if I had hit the, was it the Powerball, the Mega Millions thing that was really big this week? I didn't play, which I didn't lose either. Even if I had $1 billion and could take care of every financial need in this room all at one time, I could not give you the hope of Jesus. He's the only one who can do that. I can't give you the peace of God that passes understanding. I can't give you the joy of God that can fill your spirit to overflowing and cause you to see that God is good and you can try. I can't give you those things. It all comes from the decisions, just like David did at the beginning here. God, you are my refuge. I choose to dwell in you. God, you are my master. I'm submitted to you always. God, you are the one who provides for me, and everything you give me is enough. I see it as enough, God. Guard my heart from always wanting more, because it'll never be satisfied. God, you will protect me. You will guide me. You will shield me. You will fill me with hope. I put my trust in you. David did all of these things, and he's the one who was a man after God's own heart. I want your 2025 to be blessed. It may not be through a new job. It may not be through a new relationship. It may not be through a new home, a new car, a child. All these things, healing. We're waiting for something. There's a list. If it was this, just this. My life is so good if it wasn't just this. God, what you've given me is enough. What you've given me is enough. And I want to pray that over you. It's not an easy thing to find satisfaction in everything that God has given to us. Because while God is over here in the corner reminding you, I'm taking care of you, I've got you, I'm blessing you, I won't let you fall or fail, there's an entire world that surrounds us that says, get some more, Come on, get some more. There's more out there. Get it, get it, get it. Chase it. Run after it. Grab it. You've only got so long to get as much of it as you possibly can. Get it. Do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever brings you joy. You got to find your own joy and find your own peace and build your own joy and build. Do it. You can have all of it. You just got to do it yourself. That's a hard place to live when God's over here in the corner and we're shutting him out and all he wants to say the whole time is, you don't have to do any of that. I've got you. Just trust me. I want to encourage you to trust him this year because what he's given you is enough. Will you pray with me? God, would you just take this moment to remind us that we can trust you? Infuse us right now with a faith, a hope, a peace that just sees everything in front of us, whatever seems good, whatever seems bad, whatever seems chaotic, all of it, God, that it's just all in your hand and that none of it matters in true comparison to who you are. God, you deserve praise. You deserve glory. You deserve honor. And God, forgive us. We're chasing after way too many things. We're trying to fill in far too many blanks with some material thing or some new idea that if we could just get this, we'd find peace or happiness or joy finally. God, would you please forgive us that every time we wrote something else on the line other than Jesus. God, I pray that in this year we might erase that blank and say that the hope of my life is to trust in Jesus and let him show me the way of life that brings peace, that brings satisfaction, that directs my steps, that gives me enough because God is good. As we're in prayer, I just want to ask you, maybe you're here today and you know in and of yourself, you've got to fill in the blank thing that you've been waiting on. You've pinned probably a little bit too much hope on this one thing. That if this could change, life would be grand. And I want to ask you, if that's you, I want to ask you to raise your hand. But before you do that, I want to ask you to commit to this. In 2025, will you lay that down for Jesus? And just say, I take it off the table. It's not the thing that I'm going to cling to or hope for or wait on or think it's the only way I can have any happiness. I'm going to let it go and just say, God, I trust in you. If that's you today, I just want to ask you to slip up a hand because I want to pray with you for that this morning. Yeah, a lot of us. Wow. Wow, yeah. Can you lay it down for him? Could you take it off the table and say that this isn't the only thing that's going to give me hope or joy this year, God? I put my hope, my joy is in you. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Thank you. I want to pray for you. I continue to say this because I really, truly believe it. My prayer for you is the beginning. It's your prayer, your commitment. And I encourage you, go back and read Psalm 16. Look at these commitments that David made to God. Make them your commitments for this year. Choose them. Read it every day if you have to. But to put your hope in Jesus is a daily commitment and something you will choose. But let's pray together and let's believe God that hope is alive because Jesus is alive. God, we thank you that you are taking care of us. And I just lift up every friend in here who raised their hand, maybe those watching us online, who are in that place of waiting and expectation. And Lord, they've had a fill in the blank that's been hanging over them. They've had a hope, an expectation, a dream for something to happen to bring them final hope and peace and satisfaction in their lives. And God, we just take whatever that thing is right now, and in the power of Almighty God, by the power of the Spirit of God, we just lay that before you. We lay it on the altar. We release it. We sacrifice it. We say, God, this is not what I need for peace. I need you. I choose you. I exalt you. I welcome you. I make every commitment that I can to live for your glory, knowing that what you give me is enough. Lord, I pray that as we do that, we will be filled with the hope of Jesus that has been escaping us, the hope in life that has been escaping us, not waiting on the next thing, but being satisfied by the one thing that matters more than everything. God, that's what we commit to you today. And I pray, Lord, that as we do so, you'll make 2025 an excellent year for your children, because you're a good father and we can trust you. We give you glory, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Adam, would you come and close us?
Yeah, I think it's a real moment to give our trust over to the Lord. That is probably something that is at the top of my list of things that I still need to work on. And I don't know if you set that up or not, but I just went from the guy who flings the bread to the guy whose kid doesn't trust his dad. So I got people here that will, I'll try and introduce myself, and they're like, oh, you're the guy that throws the bread. So I can't wait to meet you guys out back and have another kind of conversation in a minute. Play games, I guess, Joe. My bad. But another thing about me is I'm a fixer. That might be the husband in me, or the dad in me, or just the way that I'm wired. But when things aren't right, I try to make it right. And I was told a long time ago that when you put in, God can't put in. And so the more that I'm doing, the more that I'm fixing, the less I'm allowing God to do in my life. So that's a challenge to me, for my children, for their health, for our finances and our future. They all belong to God anyway. Yeah, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't say yes to coming back up here and standing up here and telling you all have a good day. But let's stand together. Let's stand together. God, we're so thankful for a message, a word. But the reality is, God, that you are already doing and working. Lord, we pray that we would give you the freedom to work. We pray that our actions would reflect your love, and that other people would see our trust, and that it would multiply in our community a trust of God is in control. God is on the throne. This is the God who spoke not only stars into existence, but caused the waves to crash along the shore. You are wholly and fully in control. We want to lay down our control. I don't know that I'm speaking for myself, but I want to give it over to you. I want to present myself before you. And remember that David and I share so many things, imperfections. But we want to chase after you like David. So Lord, I pray that your blessings would be upon our church members, our church family, visitors and the like, young and old. Would they welcome the new year by laying it in your hands and saying, whatever you're about to do, I want to be excited about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, go and be a blessing and be blessed. We love you.